KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike. That was pretty good. My name is Mike Hagan, and you're listening to Aura. Oh, yeah. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. This is Brooke Medicine Eagle. You'll hear more from her in just a few minutes. This one's called Walk in Beauty.
Walk in beauty, it's all around you. Walk in beauty, let love surround you. Walk in beauty, make it around you. Walk in beauty with love for all. Hey, yeah. Hey, hey, yeah. Hey, 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 yeah. Hey, hey, yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Walk in beauty, it's all around you. Walk earth with honor, shine love upon her. Walk in beauty, sweet earth we honor. Walk with honor and love for all. Hey, yeah. Hey. Walk in beauty, let love surround you. Walk in beauty, make it around you. Walk in beauty with love for all. Hey, yeah. Hey. With honor, shine love upon her. Walk in beauty, sweet earth we honor. Walk with honor and love for all. Hey, yeah. Hey. Walk in beauty, make it around you. Walk in beauty with love for all. Hey, yeah. Hey. Hey, 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 hey.
ho. Good evening to you, or good morning to you, good day, whoever you might be, wherever you might be. Welcome to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. Thanks to all of you for listening to the program and for supporting KOPN Community Radio here in mid-Missouri and worldwide. Of course, on the web, www.kopn.org. And, of course, on the traditional airwaves, the frequency-modulated FM stations in mid-Missouri, 89.5 on that dial, okay? All right, my name is Mike Hagan. I'll be with you for the next 3 hours. I'm very excited about the program this evening. The wonderful Brooke Medicine Eagle will be with us in just a few minutes. So stick around and hold on for that. Before that, though, a quick thank you to Corey. Wonderful stuff, New Wave Radio Theater. More Jack Flanders tonight, and every week before this program, Corey brings you wonderful theater on the radio, and has just been doing a wonderful job for the last few months, and she's taken over that position. Kelvin and Jason, of course, doing it up before that. I think Eric the Red tonight, sitting in for the doctor. Kelvin and Eric, jazz plus blues equals man-made madness. Tech Radio, keeping us up on the extremely strange and wondrous world of high technology. And Jeff Wheeler, of course, starts things off every Monday with Uncommon Light, 3 to 5 p.m. Good music, good talk, good news. A radio rapture on a cold Monday night, February 11th. Moon just about a quarter full and waxing. Full moon, I think, on the 21st this month. And regardless, you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, your imagination station. Glad to be here with you and a part of it all. Thanks to everyone who joined in with us last week. A big thank you to Boyd Ed Graves, a guy doing more unrecognized work than any person I've met in my 43 years, but I'm convinced that it will not go unrecognized forever. So again, thanks to Boyd, and I appreciate your fortitude. Perhaps I'll talk a little bit of, a bit more about the whole HIV/AIDS thing later in the program. Depends how long Brooke and I talk. But at any rate, thanks to Ed for doing the program last week. Okay, also, great killer tunes from Aesop Rock last week, dropping the beats and rhymes worthy of the program for sure. And we'll say thank you to Aesop Rock for the music and for allowing me to share it with my listeners, okay? By the way, all of the musicians that are featured on the program can be found on the website, www.MikeHagan.com, and just click on over to the music archives, okay? All right, if you missed the program last week, or any other for that matter, you can always hear them after the fact. They're up there on the web. Once again, at the website, MikeHagan.com, just click over to the program archives, and you can scroll down there and take a look at the different topics and people that we've talked to over the years. And, you know, if you find one that looks interesting, check it out. And if you like it, share it with somebody else, okay? All right. All right, we are going to start things right off the bat tonight with a very special guest. Her name is Brooke Medicine Eagle. Brooke is an American native earth keeper. She's a wisdom teacher, a visionary, a sacred ecologist, a songwriter, a healer. She's dedicated to bringing forward ancient truths on how to live a fully human life in sustaining harmony with all our relations. Brooke and her partner Sunny offer an active demonstration of living in close relationship with nature, creating a lifestyle that the earth can sustain for generations to come. She's the author of a number of books. She makes beautiful music, as you'll hear tonight, and you just heard a few minutes ago. You can access a whole selection of material that she has contributed to the world's wisdom teachings at her website, medicine-eagle.com. So, without any further delay, I'd like to say hello and welcome to Radio Orbit, Brooke Medicine Eagle. Hello, Brooke. Pila Maye.
Hello, Mike. So nice to be here.
Lovely to have you, and I'm so excited to talk to you tonight. We've had a number of listeners and contacts of mine over the years that have brought me in sort of in contact with your work, and I don't know, I'm just really glad to finally be able to talk to you on the radio.
Well, it's wonderful that you're getting the word out. I'm interested in looking back at your program archives.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there. I tell you, there's some people that are pretty interesting, and now we're going to add you to the list. So, I tell you what, before we get going here, I guess the first thing I'd like to do is talk a little bit about yourself, and for people who are unfamiliar, maybe a little bit of framework and background for who you are and as much as you'd like to tell us about where you came from and how you got to be, you know, sort of on the path that you're on.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you right off the top that a lot of the stories and things I share and teachings all are very circular, and sometimes I get lost in the middle there, so you have to keep me honest and keep me on track, because it's all a great circle, and circle after circle, and I can go 100,000 directions. So anyway, this is going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it. Well, I was born and raised in the backcountry of Montana on a self-sufficient 1880s-style ranch. In the Crow Indian Reservation, the country that my grand folks had made great big beautiful ranches way in the back country, the Lone Wolf and the Fishbird and the Shively and the Dryhead ranches, all beautiful big ranches back in the back country there. So I came out of a people who I would call a half-breed rancher subculture. We were, I'm a cowboy Indian girl.
Did you say Crow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Crow was a reservation I was raised on, and I'm really a rainbow mix of things because my mostly Nez Perce great-granddad came over to visit the Crows, his shirt-tail relatives of the Crows, and he stayed there, and that's how that connection is. So there's all the Nez Perce background that was kind of lost because he came and lived with the Crows, and so there's that, and I found out recently that there's some Pagan probably in there, and also, that I just didn't even realize, because my granddad came from Oklahoma. I didn't realize until I was talking to my dad the other day that he was part Cherokee, a tiny bit. So anyway, you know, I'm a rainbow mix of Native energy, and of course, I've got some Scott and Irish and that kind of thing as well. So I kind of cover a lot of territory.
It's interesting because I think that the more people that actually study where they came from, and I use myself as an example. My father is primarily Irish and European. My mother is almost full blood Italian from Sicily. But it turns out that my great great grandfather was mixed blood with a Lakota woman in Boot Hill, Missouri, many many years ago. So, you know, I think many of us, because of the nature of what happened here on this continent over the last 500 years. Many of us have, you know, blood from backgrounds that we might not even be aware of.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that for a while it was, you know, the idea was to be as white and, you know, regular as you could be, and everyone tried to blend into that. And I know there are many, many, many pictures of these beautiful, you know, they're obviously Native women in some kind of Elizabethan white top collar, high top collar. And nobody ever admitted that they were Native because their children had been so prejudiced, there had been so much prejudice against their children as Indian children that they wanted not to have them be identified that way. So there was a whole lot lost in that.
Boy, is the pendulum swinging back the other way now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, while we're thinking of this, I also wanted to share something about my background that I feel like is interesting. One, there's that rainbow background of this whole blending of cultures that I'm from, and, as you say, that many of us are from. And also, another interesting thing about my experience in the world is that I started out in this lifetime, you might say, in the 1850s. We lived on a self-sufficient ranch with no electricity, in the back country, 5 miles from anybody, with no electricity, no running water. Huh. We ranched with horses. We hunted for a living.
What was the primary focus of the ranch? What type of ranching were you doing?
We raised cattle.
Cattle, okay.
We couldn't afford to eat our own, so we hunted deer. You know, we were on the reservation, so deer and elk were our, you know, family food. So what I'm saying there is that, and so I started there. And then I ended up in San Francisco in the early 70s on that growing edge of consciousness and wakefulness of all that amazing hippie generation that many of us were part of. So I feel like in an interesting way I've spanned enormous amounts of time compared to many people in my society. You know, many people haven't lived that range of possibilities.
Right.
And so I feel like that gives me a special stance as far as what I can share and what I can see. And the third thing I think that, you know, is an important piece of what I bring is that I bring, I was raised on the land. I was running wild, riding horseback, like many kids of my generation, we were outside playing. And of course we had hundreds of miles of outside and horses and all of that. So we were really out there on the land, and I was so deeply connected to the land in a way that not a lot of people were in a generation where many people were raised in cities.
Yes.
I feel like those three things, in some ways, are what I bring to the world. I'm a visionary. I feel like a visionary sense of things. I feel like I stand or fly like the eagle and look out over. So there's a certain visionary view of things that seems to be my nature.
What? Could you tell me a little bit about your mom? About your mother?
Yeah, my mom, an amazing being. She's 90-something now. She came from a Sioux line down through her grandmother, mm-hmm. and who married a white man, and he ran oil into the Casper oil fields with 16 mule teams. And so they raised 21 kids in the backcountry out of Thermopolis, Wyoming, and raising those mules and taking care of them and running wild in the hills with no shoes. And so anyway, she came out of that line, but the Lakota background was hers. And once again, that had been lost somewhat because of who she married, of the prejudice of the time, and, you know, bringing out all of that. She would never say very much about her native background because she came out of a time when you were sort of beaten and shamed for that. So Mom didn't, once again. Oh, and Grandma was orphaned. She was orphaned as a young woman and taken by a white family. And
right, like so many children were. So
right,
many.
And so that Lakota heritage got lost, and it was, I picked back up some of these heritages that were being lost, but it wasn't like I had the direct lineage, you know. It's like I had to find pieces and reach back and hold on to and discover what was there so that it wasn't lost to generations after me.
Mm-hmm. I understand. All right. Let me ask you about the eagle. You obviously have a connection to that bird. It's a part of your name. You've mentioned it already in the short time that we've been talking. Maybe talk a little bit about your connection to the flying critters.
Well, it was specifically to eagle. As I moved back toward, you know, I'd been told to, you know, get out and go to college and get away from a lot of the alcoholism and the violence and the challenging things
on the reservation.
At that time. There was such a shattering there. So I had really gone out, and I'm very bright, and I had gone out and gotten scholarships and gone to school and all of that, and I hadn't had the opportunity to really study with any of my elders. And so there was a time when I was called back to my native ways to begin to touch back into those, and that vision came, in a sense, on the wings of an eagle. This eagle came and gave me information and set me in a direction, you might say, that was back to my native people.
In a physical sense or in a dream? Or?
It was in a dream, a vision.
Mm-hmm, in a vision.
Dream-like vision.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I talk about it in Buffalo Woman Comes Singing about how things all started and just opened up for me. And so when I then received a name through that experience, and also when I went back to my native ways, I understood that I really needed to quiet myself and deepen myself and go into the wilderness and do a traditional calling of vision so that I could see deeper into what I had been shown initially. And at that time on Bear Butte, I was given a name that, once again, with the eagle coming to me, flying over me, giving me information and all of that. And so I was given a name at that time. It's Daughter of the Rainbow of the Morning Star Clan, whose helpers are the sun and the moon, and whose medicine is the eagle. And it talks about Daughter of the Rainbow, that rainbow clan I was already talking about, that mixed blood kind of thing.
Yeah.
Daughter of the Rainbow of the Morning Star Clan. The Morning Star is the dawn star, and it's Christ-light energy. Of the Morning Star Clan, whose helpers are the sun and the moon, and that's that kind of thing, like I know about the 1880s and San Francisco in the hippie days, or I know I'm an artist and a business person, or I'm both.
Right, the yin and the yang, the duality of the thing. Yeah.
Right, and cowboy and hippie.
Right.
The sun and moon, and whose medicine is the eagle, and the eagle's medicine is to fly into the east, into the dawn, into the springtime, into the light, and pick up that light, maybe even further around the earth than others might see it, to pick up that light and to help carry it across the sky for the enlightenment of all.
Mm-hmm.
So what was interesting is after I was given that name, it didn't seem like it was more than a few months when I was literally flying across the world carrying whatever light that I could find and bring. And that medicine eagle then, you know, was like, it was almost like saying, or it was saying, this is what you do now. You fly high, see far, and carry light as much as is possible for you. And that's what I did for 35 years.
Would you talk a little bit more about the idea of eagle medicine? There, for people who aren't familiar with native ways, you know, there are different types of medicines and different powers that are associated with different animals, hawk medicine and owl medicine, eagle medicine, etc. Not just birds, but lots of spider medicine for me. But, you know, it can be anything, really. Would you talk a little bit about the way that that sort of has influenced you and the way it works?
Well, the wonderful sense about native or primary people's way of looking at the world is that they really include the whole world, you know, all the animal kingdom and all the plant kingdom and everything around them, as an understanding of that we're all family, we're all important, we're all to be respected and honored and used well and all of that. So there's a larger sense of things. There's, I would say, we're more informed by the natural world, which is this incredibly deep well of information and knowledge and understanding of how to live well. And so that informs us in many different ways. And the wolf is a symbol. Wolf is a wolf and very much a wolf, and yet the symbol of wolf is about, you know, is a teaching. Someone might identify with that. The wolf sings out and calls out and speaks out, so it's that throat chakra, singing, talking, sharing. In that sense, I have wolf medicine, you do too. It's like that through the throat, speaking, sharing, offering out kind of energy is part of the wolf medicine. And so, as I was saying, the eagle medicine is that, there are many different ways that different people look at these things in different ways, but my experience is that it's about flying high, flying wingtip to wingtip with the Great Spirit, about lifting up and being able to see over things, and then bring that understanding down and nest it on the in a sense on the ground, in the branches of a tree on the ground. So bringing wisdom, bringing understanding, sort of translating it or transposing it so that it can be heard and seen by others. And maybe one of the things I've always felt about myself is that, I haven't always felt, but I've begun to see as I've worked with people, is that somehow I have just a tiny bit longer view, you might say. So I might see something and be able to speak about it just a tad bit before other people might pick it up. And through me saying something, people go, oh, yes, I've been thinking that, but I don't think I could have said it. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's a part of what that medicine is, that eagle medicine is getting that, just that little bit of a view, and then coming out and expressing that however well, and it stimulates something in people, and it networks and hooks up the energy in a new way.
Yeah, and in a physical sense, the eagle flies very high, you know, way up there in Grandfather Sky, you know?
Yeah.
And
they've been seen about 60,000 feet above storms, I think.
Right, and the vision, of course, is legendary. So, I live in Missouri, and I live very close to the Missouri River, and this is old Lakota country around here, you know.
That's so amazing.
And the eagle, the bald eagle, has come back here, and we have plenty of red-tailed hawks and sharp-shinned hawks and Cooper's hawks, but we don't have many eagles. But we do have some now, and they nest in these cliffs, you know, along the riverside. And every once in a while, usually on a very special occasion, it's never without synchronicity. But when I do see the bald eagle, and I've lived here for almost 6 years, and I've seen three eagles, and so, you know, once every 2 years, although all three of them in the last year, actually. But I've lived here for 6 years, and it's a remarkable thing just to view the thing. There's a knowing for even people that don't or aren't familiar with birds. They know. there's something about the eagle that's sensed, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so. Very strong symbol.
Okay, let's see. We've got a couple minutes here before we take a break. Let me ask you, well, you know what? I think we're going to take a break. It's a good place. And I've got a great song that we'll play here in the meantime. I want to play Soaring Eagle, okay?
Oh, great.
Yeah, the music, by the way, everyone, tonight that we're listening to is performed. And we'll have to have Brooke tell us a little bit more about it after we hear this song. But it's written and performed by Brooke, and I'm sure some friends of hers and some partners of hers, and it's a wonderful CD that we have that I'm sort of grabbing most of the stuff from tonight, and we'll share a bunch of different stuff over the next couple hours from this particular collection of music. There are a number of different CDs, and I'm trying to think of the one that I grabbed tonight for the program. I believe that this one is called Gathering the Sacred Breath. Is that your most recent one, Brooke?
Yes, it is.
Gathering the Sacred Breath, yeah. Okay, so we'll talk more with you a little bit about this after we hear this, okay?
All right.
And in the meantime, we will do exactly that. We will hear a wonderful piece of music from Brooke Medicine Eagle. This is called Soaring Eagle, and you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM on Radio Orbit. Back in just a few minutes, okay?
That we, people of earth and spirit, are still here, and we are again using our ability to create life and aliveness through dancing in harmony with the song of creation.
Oh,
All right, welcome back to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. That's Brooke, Medicine Eagle. Wonderful music, and we're fortunate enough to be able to listen to the music that she's written and talk to her at the same time. And we're going to get right back to her and say hello again to Brooke. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for sharing your music with us, too.
Yes, thank you for doing that. It's really wonderful to be able to offer that part of myself as well. I'm kind of a jack of all trades in some ways, and I've really enjoyed sharing the music with people.
Well, it's beautiful. I've listened to it a lot over the last few days as I've been sort of preparing for the show, and I'm really glad that I got a chance to hear it. So, all right, let's talk about something that you brought to my mind in our first segment there. You mentioned the fact that in many of the native views, including yours, the whole world is taken into consideration, all of the creatures that exist here, the plants and the animals and the crawling insects and whatever, and even perhaps rocks and stones and trees and this sort of thing. There's a Lakota phrase that we say, Mitakuye Oyasin, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, and essentially it means that we are all related. And I'd like maybe to have you riff on that for a little bit and just talk about your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, the wonderful thing about that view is that it is so useful, it is so practical, and also it is termed holy by my people. Holy isn't something about a white-haired or white-bearded guy in the sky. Holy is about the whole thing.
Hmm.
Healing is about the whole thing, everything being in harmony, all my relations, for the good, for the positive energy, for the movement, for the health, for the joy of all my relations. The whole thing swirls then, and there's enormous power in everything, everything getting what it needs and everything giving what it has to offer, and it all balances in this wonderful circle. And that's holiness, and holiness is considered an attention. Third attention is as described in one of the teachings I offer, and that attention is about the whole thing. It's the ability to hold the whole of everything in your heart and mind as you walk through your life and make choices. And it's not something that we're well trained in this culture. But it's what White Buffalo Calf Woman, who came to Lakota people bringing the sacred pipe, it was her central message, is that holiness, the oneness, that says whatever you do to any other one or being in this whole circle of life, you do to yourself, for you are in fact one being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that brings up a lot of the sacred ecology, is that, you know, whatever we do to the trees and to the breath they give us and to the holding of water and all of the functions they perform, when we damage them, that damage literally comes around into our lives again in less water or impure water or less fresh air and, mm-hmm. and things that literally affect us deeply, our health and our well-being. So that circle is what she's talking about, and as we can begin to think about and hold in our hearts and minds the whole circle of life, both now and in the future, that attention then can help us to make better decisions. And we're in a time when we really need to make some good decisions here, and we need to start acting on them.
Boy, that's for sure. You mentioned the Buffalo Calf Woman. You also have a book that's called Buffalo Woman Comes Singing. Could you talk a little bit about that story, that legend, that mythology?
Yeah, she has been really strong for me, this teaching, and what she offers have been really strong teachings for me in my life. And, you know, basically she came to the Lakota people a long, long time ago. It's a story that Black Elk tells, and I also share and tell in the beginning of the book. She was a holy woman who came to the people bringing the sacred pipe as a representation of the feminine and masculine balance.
Yes, the stem of the pipe and the bowl of the pipe, yeah.
Right, the red bowl of the pipe is the feminine and the stem is the masculine. And
mm-hmm.
together, then when tobacco is placed in them, tobacco that represents everything. You know,
yeah.
You see, this is for the two-leggeds and the four-leggeds and the wingeds and the star people and the waters and those who live in the waters and everything, the little flyers, everything.
Yeah.
Everything in the whole circle. And then you bring that to mind. You bring it into your heart, and then your prayers go forward, in a sense, through that or with that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so she brought the pipe and those teachings to us.
Yes.
A reminder of all the great teachings, but it was the form that came to us. To me, she's like, you might say, an American goddess.
It's a beautiful story and a super important one, too, actually, I think. because, you know, there are lots of different stories and ideas and mythologies, and I think some hold more water than others, frankly. And I'm one of these people who've, you know, I've tested a lot of different waters. I grew up Catholic and did that whole business and went through the entire, you know, Catholic indoctrination and learned all about the Bible and read all that and did, you know, that, but then dropped that and decided that I didn't like what they were doing when I found out enough about their background. And then, you know, but studied Buddhism and the Hindu work and all these different things. But when I found out about my own heritage, even before I found out about my own heritage, I was hanging out with Lakota people because there was something about the Chinupa, about this pipe, the sacred pipe. And to this day, I think that's probably the first time I've said the word Chinupa on the air.
Well, it's wonderful. It's nice to use that word. Grandpa Wallace used to tell us to use that word.
Well, Wallace was my grandfather, you know, and he taught me. And Grandfather Wallace Black Elk, Wambly Chikala, you know, and I knew him. He lived in Denver. He passed in March of 2004. I take that back. In January of 2004, I just celebrated his passing 2 weeks ago on the air here. But I'm sorry to digress and talk about my own thing because anytime I hear the word Wallace, I can't even stand it. You know.
Yeah, well, that's great. It's wonderful. You know, a lot of us share his wonderful teachings, and he actually was from a line of the Lakota people that I was from, but that I had lost. And so it was great to connect back with him and get some sense of that, although that specific line of training was not something I followed so
mm-hmm,
much.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, the sacred pipe, could you talk a little bit about what you think about it or what you know about it? It's an abstract sort of concept for people who may be less familiar with this stuff. You mentioned Black Elk Speaks, of course, the wonderful book by John Neihardt, where he talks a little bit about this, and you can read further about it. But there is something about that gathering of spirit from the four directions, actually the six directions, and all of the critters, and all of the other creatures that we share the earth and our space with, and then bringing it together somehow through the pipe.
Yeah, I think it's like that's what real power is that unified, harmonious flow of the whole of life, that incredible river of life that flows. And if we can enhance that and step into it ourselves, then we're an enormous power. And it's not about force or pushing or shoving or somebody getting more than they need or less than they need. It's that harmony is so mighty, you know, and we're needing to step more and more back into that. And you know, the sacred pipe is that representation that's passed around the world, really, with the sense of peace and connection and
mm-hmm.
honoring of all life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what we're needing to step back into, because we've really lost touch with that connection, and that connection has allowed us to damage a lot of our life through destructive patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still at it, you know, we're still polluting the air and running out all the gasoline that could have lasted us for, you know, centuries. And we're doing so many things that are not sustainable. You know, we don't live in a sustainable manner.
Right,
and the
right.
earth is telling us that. And, the prophecies talk about this great new time coming, but that in order for us to reach it, we actually need to change our ways. It's not like something's going to come and benevolently tap us on the head and everything will be perfect for a new and golden time, which I do see coming.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to make some choices about how we live and how much resource we use. And part of what I'm very interested in is living a simpler life, mm-hmm. where what's really important is brought forward. And I know one of the wonderful things about my partner is he simplified it very much for me. He said, to me personally, he said, I can offer you food because I really am a good organic gardener.
Mm-hmm.
I can offer you shelter because I can build with pretty much any material there is around, some simple shelter. I can give you clothing because I can make clothing from deer hides and other things and simple fibers. And he said, and I can give you love and mm-hmm. connection and community. And those are the things that I think we all need. And we've gotten way far away from really understanding that into a very complex, market-driven, enormous global corporation-driven kind of world that doesn't have very much to do with our satisfaction and our pleasure and our longevity on the earth, our survival as a species.
Right, and our happiness and our liberty and all these things that everybody wants. It does nothing for any of them.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, it's very interesting. You know, we're in a time when the vibration is lifting. The prophecies, and we can talk about this more, say that in 2012, you know, we'll be shifting into a golden time. And so that being the case, the vibration has to lift. You know, it's like the energy, instead of being anger and hate and all that, it has to lift above that and to come into a place of harmony if we're going to have harmony, a harmonious golden time, which is what's prophesied. So that uplifting of the vibration means that a lot of the darkness gets shown. And I think, in many ways, it's very dark out there right now.
Yeah,
and a very large international banking cartel holds all of our us in their hands, all the credit and all of the things that are happening. We're held our reins, in a sense. Someone else has hold of our reins. And as just so many individuals are having so many challenges now, and all of the warring and all of that, it benefits those big outfits that don't care what war, but just that they get to sell munitions.
Right.
And those kind of things are coming to the fore. They're coming to light. People need to see what's actually going on and make some different choices. And I think one of the ways to shift that energy, in a sense, to break through into a new kind of energy is, really, it's about the daily choices we make about what we consume and how we live our lives and what's important. And, I think we're really being asked to simplify because if we really want to take a look at it, we're right on the edge of being out of oil. Our last couple generations have just run our cars around and run us out of that and done all this global marketing where everything has to be shipped by big ships and planes and on and on. We've done this glut of gasoline, and it isn't going to last. And so to face, in fact, what life will be like as we shift out of that and whether we can do that gracefully or not. And to me, for our leaders in this country, and I think they've done a little better in other countries, but in this leading country of the world, I feel like criminal acts have been committed by not paying attention to how to make ourselves more sustainable and more harmonious and to not be dependent on oil and that whole energy and the complex around oil and money and all of that, to not be dependent on that. You know, we started back with Jimmy Carter. All of a sudden, there was some credit to, look at solar and all of that. And boy, did that get knocked down in a hurry.
Yeah,
it's absolutely criminal that we have not focused our attention on alternative ways that we could have had absolutely humming and beautiful, and we would have been off of petroleum and into lighter, cleaner, clearer, more magical, amazing technologies. And those have not been supported, and as a matter of fact, they've been suppressed.
Right.
And
right.
That's just sickening. And
I agree with you, but at the same time, I think that you can't hold things down forever. You know, this guy Stephen Buhner, who is a friend of mine, and who actually introduced me to you through one of his books called Sacred Plant Medicine, to which you write the foreword. He made a comment to me once on the air. He said, regarding something completely different, but it sort of comes back to me now. He said, you know, Mike, you can pave over, you know, the ground with sidewalks, but the dandelions keep coming through.
Yes, he's so great. I totally adore him and his work. I highly recommend it to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
He's so bright and so expressive. And the thing, though, that's interesting is that in order for the dandelions to grow through the cracks, there may be some real crashes in our human way of doing things if we don't change our ways.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there can be such great shifts. And, you know, our prophecies talk about, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because they talk about this golden time coming in 2012 and that we are moving out of the 13th hell, or the ninth hell, the bottom of the hell that we can experience on earth, and beginning to lift up then into 13 heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it talks about this amazing time coming. And it also talks about the loss of a major part of their earth's population. That we have built ourselves and we're not supported. You know, we haven't built a foundation of support and harmony that's really a workable way of living. And so, you know, things are getting wobbly and have a tendency in that situation to crash. And also a fascinating thing is that when we look at chaos theory, I'm not a full-fledged scientist by any means, but I think I understand chaos theory enough to understand that as we make a leap into a new time, something has to shake loose. You can't keep it the same and have a new time.
Right. Something has to stop before something new starts. Yeah. I agree.
So there has to be a destructuring of the old patterns. And so in chaos theory, they talk about that perturbation or, you know, being perturbed, being aggravated, being shaken up, being rattled, being broken loose. And that's exactly the time we're in. Since August of 1987, we have been in this time the Maya people talk about as a time of perturbation and chaos,
right.
And that is to absolutely shake things loose so that when this new energy comes in, there is a new possibility that opens up. So there's, you know, in many ways, we're looking at a time of very chaotic shaking loose of things and the light shining in such way that we start to see the craziness and darkness that we participate in and get to make some new choices.
Yeah, there are a couple things that you make me think of. The first thing being the perturbation in chaos theory. You're absolutely right. There's, you know, something that happens within the system that eventually flips over the apple cart. The interesting thing about it is that perturbation can be very small. This is the whole butterfly effect idea, you know, that it can be something small, seemingly insignificant, probably unpredicted by a theory, and completely improbable, you know, and it can completely change the whole scene. And I think that's sort of a hopeful sign.
Yeah, you know, one of the things speaking of hopeful signs, I love hopeful signs at this point. And one of the ones that I think is so beautiful, what I would like to share with people is the sense, I believe I have it right from the astrologers and astronomers I talk to, is that as we're swinging toward December, the 21st, 23rd of 2012, we're swinging toward, right, so we're lining up right straight with the great central sun, the great center of life, and to me the great center of the center of the center of things, creation and creator, is love.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're lining up with this great, great impulse of love that's coming toward us. And you know, when you're in love, you're just a great person, you know, you're just happy and generous and you know, that's being in romantic love, but to have love fill your heart for the things around you and to do care for things and all of that just as a natural reaction, as rather than greed and fear and, oh my God, I might not have enough, just this loving, sharing, generous offering, everyone offering, and all of a sudden everything then getting back into that circle of power where everything is giving and receiving in this amazingly beautiful way. So that energy, I'm really praying that is true, that there is a kind of energy coming to us that can really lift us up and shift our vibration. And then we need to carry that, of course. We need to be willing to be people of heart.
Uh-huh.
In the Piscean age, the whole 2160-year period that's coming to an end here one of these days, that time is about learning the way of the heart. It's about the path of the heart, walking from the heart of love, centering ourselves there. That's, to me, what's called the Christian cross is about. If you stand with your arms out and stand straight up and down as a human being and you look at your silhouette, where's your heart? It's right at the crossroads where your arms extend out and your midline comes down. That's basically where your heart is, and that's what that shaped cross is pointing out. It's like right there is where the action is, right there at the center of your energy.
Right.
Where those energies cross is where the action is, and that's where we're being asked to live from.
And
it's a place of love and all of the energy that all the hippies talked about, peace, love.
Mm-hmm. And as above, so below. In other words, the sun is the central heart of our solar system, and in the same fashion, the central sun of the galaxy, the galactic core that you're referencing, is the heart of the entire larger system that we're a part of. And so it is about the heart, perhaps. You know, there's this guy, are you familiar with John Major Jenkins?
I wish I were, from the sound of things now.
Yeah,
but
well,
I'm not, I'm
well,
sorry.
He's written, he's a Mayan cosmologist, and he writes a lot about the Mayan calendar and their mythology and their cosmology and history, and he's very he's a scholar, actually, when it comes down to their architecture and all of their carvings and all this stuff. But anyway, you know, he's been following this thread for now for many, many years, probably 20 or 30 years now, and he, along with many other people who, some of which I've talked to on this program, John's guest, who will actually be on the program next week. He'll actually be here in Columbia, by the way. For my listeners, my local listeners, I mentioned it last week, but yeah, it's been confirmed. So John will be here, and we'll do a live radio show next Monday. He'll be with me here in the studio, and then on Tuesday night, we'll do a presentation of his material down at the Blue Fugue on 9th Street. And we'll have a couple hours where John can present his material on the Mayan calendar, and then question and answers afterwards, and probably just hang out with us and have a few beers. But he's great, and he'll be here. And Brooke, John and many other people, including the Navy, the Naval Observatory, confirm that certainly there is an astronomical and astrological significant event that is actually going to happen then. This is not, you know, New Age hocus pocus. I mean, this is a physical event alignment that's actually going to happen in the heavens up there above our heads.
Right, and the profound influence that has. They're studying more and more about how that outer buzz, you know, actually influences everything. And so there's an understanding of what the ancients understood is how profoundly all of these movements, what kind of a difference they make. And I love the thought that this amazing light will come in. May I share something with you from the Nez Perce about this new coming of the new time and the way it will happen?
Please.
They talk about at the beginning of each new age, at the center of the center of the center of things, Creator strikes a great gong. And that sound reverberates out into the whole of things. And that it will radiate out and come into the earth, into the core of the earth. The crystal struts of the earth will begin to vibrate with that sound. And that will vibrate up into our own bodies through our feet and come up into our own bodies. And we will be vibrating with that. And what they say is that great song or that great sound is something Creator will give us. And we must pick up that sound and sing that song for it to remain. Because as any sound that's struck on a gong, it eventually fades.
Right.
So we must pick up that new song, that new sound, that new way of being, and carry that and sing that, in a sense, metaphorically, sing that song. And then it remains on our earth. And I think that's so beautiful because even in the song Walk in Beauty that I wrote, walk in beauty, it's all around you. Walk in beauty, let love surround you. Walk in beauty, make it around you. make beauty around you. Take you, not only receive it, notice it around you, and realize you're surrounded with this loving energy. You as well express that. You make beauty yourself.
Mm.
That's your part to do, is to step into harmony and beauty and love and all of that. And so each of us has a charge to do that. And it's an exciting time, but it's a challenging time, I think.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's we get both and, right?
Yes.
All right. Look, we are at the top of the hour here. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk some more. All right, everybody. It is Mike, and you're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My guest is Brooke Medicine Eagle on the web at medicine-eagle.com. Lots of interesting stuff there at the website, including writings and links to books that Brooke has written, including also the music that you're hearing tonight. And we will do that right now. We'll play another song here and come back and talk some more with Brooke Medicine Eagle. This one is called Heart of the Universe. And you're listening to it here on Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. You know, we're in the middle of our pledge drive, by the way, the winter pledge drive. And the number here is 573-874-5676 if you'd like to donate some of your hard-earned money to keep this radio station functional and happy, keep this program on the air. I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the program because I don't want to cut too much into my interview here with Brooke. But just so you know, on the web, my email address, orbitradio@aol.com. There's nobody here in the studio or in the station now to take phone calls anyway. So just send me an email if you want to support me in the station, okay? And we'll figure out how to do that at a later date. All right, once again, Brooke Medicine Eagle. This is called Heart of the Universe. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This chant came as the confirmation of a fertile dream after a solitary vision quest. It recognizes the source of our passion and power.
From the heart.
All right, wonderful stuff, everybody. It's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. That's called Heart of the Universe. Beautiful song from Brooke Medicine Eagle. That's a selection pulled from her most recent compilation of music on a disc that's called Gathering the Sacred Breath. And it's a pleasure to be able to share that with you tonight. And it's an even greater pleasure to be able to share some time with the performer and the author of this wonderful music. Brooke, hi.
Hi. See, may I say something practical?
Please.
You were mentioning to people, and I would love to have them have my website, medicineeagle.com. It doesn't have a dash. It's Medicine Eagle run together. I sometimes capitalize the M and the E on Medicine Eagle, but medicineeagle.com, and that's the most direct one. Thanks so much.
Yeah, okay, so medicineeagle.com minus the dash. But I tell you what, if you put a dash in, it works anyway.
Does it? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, because that's the one that I've been using, and that's the one that I have linked up on my website, and I just clicked it, and it went right to your site. So,
fabulous.
See, the Spirit's working for you whether you know it or not. MedicineEagle.com, for safe reference, eliminate the dash. But if you link from my site, at least until I get it fixed, it will be there, but you'll still get to Brooke's site. Okay, let's see. Where do we go from here?
You know what? If I may, just referring to this song,
mm-hmm.
The whole sense of the heart of the universe, I think, is very interesting. Just a moment. Excuse me.
Please. Yeah.
The whole thing around the heart of the universe and going to the heart of things, there's, I believe, like, the way I might say it is there's a technology of the heart that we're learning. You know, as I've said, to walk the way of the heart and mm-hmm. to love and care about things really is the way we're being asked to walk rather than in with greed or separation or division or any of that. And, you know, people are even sort of studying this technology of the heart. And one of the things that we're really getting and that I always feel when I sing that song is a sense of gratitude, that one of the most powerful places we can stand is in gratitude and appreciation. And to, because what we know these days is that what we vibrate, we create. The energy, you know, the vibe we carry, as we say, but the vibration we carry is what magnetizes to us what comes in the future. And so really being able to learn, I feel like a part of our learning right now is about being able to choose the positive, to be able to choose to live and invite and vibrate a dream. It's like Gandhi saying you need to be the change you want to bring about.
Mm.
In order to have a happy life, you need to choose happiness. And in order to live in harmony, you need to choose a way of harmony. And so we're really learning through many different things that maybe used to be secrets and are now really what's up for us to learn is to use our imagination to dream a beautiful dream and to awaken that dream on earth by holding it. A wonderful plant, cactus shaman, down in Peru, Don Eduardo Calderon said one time something that has remained with me for many years. He said, speaking of a shamanic way of life, he said, the true shaman is one who holds the golden dream so clearly in their heart and mind that they help it come true.
Huh.
And so I feel like that's the magic, that's the shamanism of our time, is to be able to walk through what we're walking through without denying that we're doing whatever we're doing, and yet at some level of ourselves, that maybe that holy level, to be able to hold the golden dream of an abundant and beautiful and joyful world and to create our own piece of heaven. I know my partner Sunny talks about that, you know, that what we want to be doing, each of us, and what we certainly are practicing is to create our little bit of heaven right here where it is. And we've created this beautiful place. And we'll continue to create beauty and making things where there are gardens and flowers and, you know, a way of life that sustains itself through our own simple and hard work, you know, creating with our hands and with our hearts, making something beautiful, making something that brings more life than there was before. All of those things are a profound way of acting, technologies, I think, that we're wanting to learn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually spoken on the air and very interested in this whole new area of neurocardiology and the idea that the heart is actually much more than a pump. And many, many, a majority actually of the cells that make up our hearts and the whole pericardial sac that it's enclosed in are neural cells, neurons, the very, very similar actually to the neurons that are firing between our ears. And there are direct connections between our brainstem and the neural sac around our heart, and there are a number of researchers that are actually, you know, really now fleshing this whole thing out in a scientific sense, and it's beautiful actually the more we learn about it, because it turns out that the heart is much more than we've been told that it was, and all of the sages and the wonderful poets and all of our grandmothers and grandfathers who have told us, you know, follow your heart. It wasn't just poppycock. It was actually the right thing.
Right. It's so exciting. You know, I feel like the real true scientists of our day are mystics. They're starting to see all of these things, and they've gone far enough to, as you say, prove for the rational mind some of these things that the sages and healers and teachers have been talking about down through time.
Right.
And as you say, it's not just poppycock, and it's not just Pollyanna, it's not just fairy tale. It's a way of walking. It's a way of being in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how good it feels to offer something and uplift someone and honor something and just have good energy, happening, and support and nurturance and fun and laughter and sharing and interrelating and caring and all of those things. White Buffalo woman in a vision spoke to me one time and said, well, I was basically asking, when is this new time coming? You know, when is the golden time? And she said, whenever you are cooperating, sharing, loving, caring, unifying, communing, you know, all healing, doing all those things that are whole and holy, that is the new time. You are in the new time when you do that. And she said, in contrast, when you are fighting and warring and greedy and separating and mean and, you know, all of those kind of negative energies, when you are in those, you are in the old time, and the old time is passing. So we need to choose where we are. I feel like it's sort of this separating the sheep from the goats in everything from biblical to other representations and metaphors.
Right.
We need to decide. The Hopi prophecy even says you're going to be on the upper road, you're going to be on the lower one. You get to cross back and forth here.
Right.
But one of these fine days, and I think it's coming very soon, you need to choose where you're going to stand.
Right.
And who you are, how you are, what you're consuming, what you're taking, what you're giving, all of those are it's a baseline of where we're standing. That's how it's defined. Is it in harmony? Is it sustainable? Is it good for all my relations or not?
Right. And it's interesting that you know, at the root, when you scrape away all the dogma and all the crap that's been built around all of these religions, essentially, they've all got sort of a piece of that action. They all sort of say in one way or another exactly the same thing. You're going to have to, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose. You know, you're going to be this type of a person or that. And, you know, and then when that time comes, well, you know, things will be held to account.
Right. And it's so interesting. You know, we live in what we make. You know, if we create a cesspool, then that's what we live in. And one of the interesting things, I want to share this with people, too, about who we are. I can follow all this that I'm thinking about right now. But of who we are is that we came in, one of my teachers jokingly said, you know, everyone was arm wrestling to get onto Earth, you know, all the high souls, the best, you know, were wanting to come in and sort of won the arm wrestling because they wanted to come in for a couple reasons. One, during these changeover times, it's like we need midwives. We need people to hold the energy and be able to know and you know, help this passage, this very amazing passage.
Well, it is like a birth, though, too.
Yes, exactly.
The metaphor is wonderful, yeah.
All the shaking up and the moving from one medium, you know, to another, from being warm and nurtured in that wonderful womb to boop into a whole other world, and that's the kind of movement we're doing. So that's one reason the great, you know, the high beings come in. And the second reason is that he said, as these perturbations and chaos has happened, the energy begins to spin faster and faster. And the way these things go, I have to make a sound to illustrate it. It's like... and the energy jumps. It's like a pyramid, a teepee, vortex. It swirls up, and all of a sudden, the energy can jump and move. So what's happening is with every one of those revolutions, they get tinier and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are speeding up and intensifying. So what our teacher said is all these great souls want to come in right now, because if you step in onto Earth right now and you act in a positive, loving, holy, communicative, sharing, giving manner, you clean up centuries of karma. And I thought that was wonderful, because not only can we do some good, we can do ourselves some good.
Right.
To me, it's a time to be brave, to step up, if you're going to make a million to one on your money, put some money out there.
Right.
And so I think it's a time to step up and to really be willing to go for it. And one of my teachers also said to me one time that you can incarnate from the future or into the future, the past, or the present. And that's a kind of a head spinner just in itself. But where he went with that is he said, many of you on Earth now who are taking leadership positions have incarnated from a golden future into this past time to set the seeds of understanding and awareness of the possibility of this golden future being blossoming on Earth. And I thought that was very amazing, and it does feel like that, like some of us see this golden possibility. We can feel it. It's real to us, and that vibration helps bring it to Earth.
Uh-huh. I love
it. So I think there are many of us out there. And the other implication of the story I just told about the high beings arm wrestling is that if you're on Earth, you're one of the ones that won.
That
means there were all these amazing beings who came here to do something very powerful. And no matter what we look like or who we are or what job we have or anything, we have a heart and we have the ability to be a person who brings in a new and golden time through our own body, through our own vibration, which is the only way it will arrive.
Right. Again, it's back to the chaos theory. Changes in any system, whether it's a biological system or a chemical system or a social system, they always begin with one unit, whatever the unit is, whether it's a person or an atom or a molecule or whatever, but one unit in the system undergoing a phase or a state change.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, then it expands outward. But I believe that you're right, that it can happen with one individual. My another one of the men who I consider one of my grandfathers is a Hopi elder. His name is Grandfather Martin Gashwizioma.
Uh-huh.
And Grandfather Martin is 85 years old now or so, and he's one of the last of the real wisdom keepers, I think, of the Hopi, and it breaks my heart. And I hope that he's still here to see the changes that he so anticipates. But anyway, one time when Grandfather Martin was speaking, he said, with regard to this exact thing, Brooke, he said, it only takes one. And then he said, maybe two. Three is too many. And I really took that to heart, and I've thought about it many, many times, and I apply it now with the scientific view as well. In other words, this is the same as these systems changing. It takes one unit, one particular part of the system to go through that unique change, and it can have a profound effect on the entire system.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for what you're doing, because people like you who have the talent to step into the niche you're in, which is a niche where not just one person that you happen to visit with when you see them, but the way you're inviting us in and expressing this into living rooms and headphones forever and ever, so many people get to touch in with this information. And I believe that some of you, I know Michael Toms and Justine out at New Dimensions and other folks on the radio, mm-hmm. and other kinds of programs have just spread this wonderful knowledge and understanding and wisdom from so many different sources, and I want to thank you for that because it really makes a difference.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your recognition of it. And I tell you what, I mean, for me it was sort of like, well, we got the technology, now let's do something with it, you know?
Yeah, let's do something good here.
One of my friends said, man, you're one of the weirdest guys I know, and you know all these other weird people. Why don't you talk to them? And I was like, oh, man, that's a good sign. Maybe I will talk to all these people. So, well, I tell you, we have a few more minutes before I want to take a break, and something that has been on my mind and I think has sort of come out in the last few minutes, actually maybe 15 minutes ago or so, but it has to do with the partnerships and men and women. And we don't talk about it a whole lot in our culture because we have this political correctness about, I'm not even sure, I think people are so confused, they don't know what a man is or what a woman is or what we're supposed to be or what we're not supposed to be. But I would like it if you could maybe talk a little bit about your views and ideas of what the man's role is in this picture right now and what the woman's role is.
Yeah, you know, I can talk about that in several ways, but let me talk about one. I spent time with the Cheyenne sacred bundle called the Sacred Hat, mm-hmm. and my teacher there taught me that the role of the feminine, I'm not saying female, but mm-hmm. the feminine, mm-hmm. the role of the feminine energy in the mm-hmm. world is the nurturing and renewing of life. And so, of course, renewing through the feminine, through the female, is born a renewed world, is, you know, a renewed race, a renewed, you know, deer, animals, whatever, but that feminine renewing and nurturing of life. So that role is the feminine role. And the masculine, in some ways, could be represented by a bundle of arrows that is a part of that sacred tradition as well. And that is the active, moving out there, making things happen, fathering, protecting, gathering, in a sense, kind of energy, or excuse me, the gathering would be more the feminine. But the interesting thing about the way they look at healthy people from our perspective is that, let's take a chief. A chief needs to have that, let's say he's a nomadic chief of our people. He had to know how to lead us. He had to know how to take us where the berries were ripe and where there was grass in the winter for the horses in the lower valleys and it was warm enough and where the water was clear and where it was safe and protect the people and move them through their life and their life cycle in a good way. And that's a very active, a very young, you know, get out there and move it, take care
right.
of everything, protect
right.
kind of energy. However, the old women could depose a chief and they could depose him if he didn't have enough of the feminine characteristic,
mm.
which is that when he moved people and moved his tribe and moved his horses and all of that, he was nurturing and renewing life through that. Through the choices he made, the people were nurtured and renewed, and life moved in a beautiful circle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that balanced way of being that's so powerful, where the nurturing qualities as well as the other, and certainly in the male, he's given, initially anyway, given more of those kind of, you know, outward, more young kind of characteristics, and that's what he carries. And the feminine, I know what I was told on Bear Butte, and I may have already mentioned this, but there was White Buffalo Woman or Rainbow Woman who was speaking to me said that the feminine is so important right now that we must, as we change into a new time, the feminine principle of nurturing and renewing life must balance a masculine that has gone way over into what mm-hmm. she considered the negative masculine.
Right.
Which is, warring and destruction. Because, like, let's say a chief, if the chief decides to kind of ally and buddy up with his young warriors to say, hey, let's go and kick butt on those guys next door. They were insulting us or whatever, and, you know, da-da, and then pretty soon there's warring and fighting. Well, when there's warring and fighting in that world, if you go kill some Cheyennes, they're going to come back over to the Crow camp and kill somebody.
That's right.
And so when the grandmothers felt that kind of energy, which I consider a degraded masculine, when they felt that kind of warring and pushing and shoving kind of energy, they said, no more. you are the chief that we want to have leading our people, because you are hurting others, they're coming back and hurting us. That is not what we want. We want to be nurtured and renewed and have peace and have abundance and everybody get in harmony. And so there was that calling forth in the masculine of, in the males, of both their masculine, their strongest, most powerful, most beautiful warrior selves, and the true warrior is guided by the heart.
Uh-huh.
And nurturing and renewing the people, always gifting and nurturing and renewing the people. It's not about warring and fighting and killing. So that was the male's role, and the female was, in a sense, about good relationship and the nurturing and renewing of life. And at the same time, those women were very balanced. They were very strong. They were physically strong. They were able to, move in their world and, live and work hard and all of the things. If you don't think tanning buffalo hides and, traveling, throwing up your teepee and down and a travoy and on and on and on, all of that is easy. It isn't. So they were strong.
Mm.
They were strong and powerful and stood together around a circle of children and made a difference. And
right.
So,
well, I tell you, a woman can give birth to a child, and a man can't. That's for sure. It's never happened since I've been around. And I think their tolerance of pain is probably greater than most men. They have a tremendous willpower and strength, and I think that obviously that for the scenario that you described, the women would also have to have. They would have to have that strength in order to be able to go to Mr. Chief and say, "Hey, Chief, we don't like what you're doing, and you're going to have to cut it out, and we're going to pick a new chief." That takes a tremendous amount of strength to be able to challenge them. In other words, just as the feminine is important in the male side, the female must also be able to exercise some of the masculine qualities.
I think so, to be really balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And, it helps when you have a society set up that really recognizes
right.
the primacy of the feminine. And many of the traditional and primary and native cultures really understood the feminine as the beginning, that the great womb was uh-huh. where everything existed uh-huh. And the wakan and gan, the lightning, struck into that, in a sense, put energy into that. Took one of those little stars there and brought it into reality, birthed it, helped birth it into actual reality. But
yeah.
the potential, the allness, the wholeness, the bowl of everything is the feminine, and that is the beginning. And out of that bowl, then you reach in and get something. But the feminine was first and primary.
Yeah.
And people who are intelligent really realize that nurturing and renewing of life and everyone being in harmony and happiness is really what supports, what blows my mind about a lot of, I guess what I would, characterize anyway as the greedy and the powerful and the wealthy and some of these people is that it just doesn't make any sense to try to stick all the energy in your own pocket and think you're going to be okay and everybody else is not okay. Anyone who's a chieftain or a ruler or a good king knows that making his people happy, really happy, healthy and happy and strong and grounded and having what they need and being capable and loving each other and working together, that's what supports everyone, including the king.
Right, right,
right.
It's
like the other way doesn't work, for heaven's sakes. It's so clear that it doesn't work. So ignorant to think it does.
I think of, I forget who it was that said it, but someone on the air one time talked about the idea of a flower and broke down the word and said, a flower is a flower, someone who lets things flow. And the idea that things have to flow through in order to remain healthy. So
exactly.
Right? So rather than dam it all up and collect all your money and put it in a safe, that money, whether you have it or not, has to flow through you. And same with energy and everything else. And that flowing through is what allows it to, first of all, be shared with others, but at the same time, keep you safe and strong and secure and healthy.
I feel like that's so right on. And what's interesting about human people is, although we're a very dominant species, it reminds me of that same thing. if we don't honor the kingdom around us and have it in working order, then we're on very, we're on shaky ground. We're at the top of the pine tree, but that's pretty slim branches up here.
That's right. It's a long way down, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a long way down, and we're killing the tree that we're standing, that we're nesting in.
Oh, yes.
So, that honoring is so practical. I've always been a practical mystic, and holiness is the the deepest and most amazing spiritual concept, and it's also a very practical, sensible, how you truly live kind of concept.
Right. Sort of a get what you pay for sort of thing.
Right, and it's all represented, as we started out, by the sacred pipe and the highest teachings of all people. There's that understanding of how things work, and the native traditions say that we have been through just recently, in the last few millennium, we have been through four different worlds, and each time the humans have thought they were very smart and changed things around and pushed and shoved and created nuclear this or damaged that or whatever, and pretty soon, boom, down the whole system went, and it had to rebuild itself from the very beginning, and we're pushing right against the edges of one of those, I believe one of the things I love is that one of my Vedic teachers, he's a Hindu, Vedic teaching scientist.
Some of the most ancient writings on the planet. Yeah.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful information. And I was saying to him, well, do we just like wreck the world and then, it all starts from this pristine kind of sweet beginning and it's very much in tune and all of that, and then here we go again and we do something else this time and there's a great flood or something, on and on. I said, does it just go up and down like that? I mean, what's that about?
Right.
He said, well, each time the wave goes up and comes back down, it is on an upward ascending scale, in a sense. It's going uphill, it's spiraling up. And he said, the interesting thing about the end of this time, as many different cycles come to a close at 2012, he said one of those is humans learning a certain level so that when we kind of go up on the wave and we have this higher culture and then we drop down into chaos and barbarism, he said, and violence and destruction and all of those things, he said this graduation that we're coming to will move us into a time when we no longer need to go, even though the cycles may shift and there's a hollow after each wave, he said, we don't have that, the bottom of that wave doesn't ever have to go into destruction and harmfulness and pain and struggle and all of those things. That we will graduate to a time when certainly there will be challenges. That's what growth is about. You do something different and you don't know how to do it and you need to learn and all of that. So there will be challenges. The difference is that we won't have to damage ourselves or anyone else in order to learn and grow and have everything we need and want.
Right.
That's the graduation, and that's love. That's where we're headed.
Yeah, up to now we've done this, that, and the other thing, but at tremendous cost.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Look, Brooke, let's take another break. Would you stick around for another segment here?
Yeah, I think I can manage till midnight my time.
All right, let's do it. We'll play another song and come back and talk some more with Brooke Medicine Eagle. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. So pleased to have Brooke on the air with us tonight, and I know you are too. By the way, Brooke, when we come back, you can make a note here maybe, but I just peeked into the chat room, and lots of people in there listening and enjoying the show, and a number of people saying, please ask Brooke about her partner. They want to know more about Sonny. They've seen pictures of him on the web, and so they say he seems like an extremely talented character. And all kinds of other comments. So maybe you could talk a little bit about your partner, Sonny, when we come back, and a little bit about what you guys are doing there in Montana, okay? All right, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN, Columbia, 89.5 FM. We'll be back with Brooke Medicine Eagle in just a couple of minutes. This is a song from Brooke that is called Spirit That Moves. We'll be back with her in just a few minutes. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Don't forget the pledge drive is on. Send me an email, orbitradio@aol.com, if you'd like to support this program and the radio station.
The spirit life that lives in all things uplifts the quality of our living and giving from childhood throughout our lives.
As the wind blows through the trees and caresses every little leaf, the spirit that moves through all things goes to you and me.
Medicine Eagle. Wonderful music there. That's called Gathering, the Sacred Breath. Actually, that's the name of the CD that we're listening to, but that particular song is called Spirit That Moves. And you can find information about Brooke and the stuff that she's involved in on the web at Medicine Eagle, MediciNeEagle, MedicineEagle.com. And we are pleased and privileged to have Brooke on the air with us tonight. We've got another 20 minutes or so, so let's get right back to her and say hello, Brooke. How are you?
Good. I enjoy the energy of that song. Friends of mine called
Me
and Buddy Holly.
Me and my friend Chris, a friend of mine who's sitting in the studio with me listening, we were both just jamming to the drums. Great percussion in that last song.
Yeah. I like that energy of movement, spirits moving and happy and joyous rather than the great serious.
Yeah, I love it. Let me ask you a question with regard to music and maybe in a more general sense about art. It's obviously something that you enjoy, and, you know, how important is it, do you think?
You know, I think that sound and vibration are one of the most powerful tools we have, and singing in harmony, I asked my guides, how do I learn about harmony? I mean, you know, it's like sometimes things don't feel very harmonious, and if I want to learn that and live it, I want to see the examples of it.
Mm.
And it was kind of one of those dull questions. It's like, hey, sing in harmony. And it is so true that if we can, it's that same metaphor about singing that song of harmony, really using our voices. Our throat chakra is where we make the golden dream real in the world. The vibrational quality coming out of our heart and being expressed through the throat is where we actually make real the golden dream. So I think song and sound and all of those things are amazing technologies that we can use in a wonderful way. And when I do my healing work, my shamanic healing work, I use a lot of sound and flute and drum and voice and all of that, and I think it's very, very, very powerful, and I highly recommend that people sing, not listen to someone else sing, but sing themselves.
Yeah, there is something about the spoken word or the sung word. There's something about the actual vocalization of these things. It's different than thinking, for example. In other words, speaking is different than thinking. You can think a word, but if you speak it, you actually perturb, there's that word again, perturbation, you actually perturb the physical environment with sound waves that have now an impact on everything else around them.
You know, when Creator created the world, all of the recounts say, when Creator created the world, there was void and stillness, and Creator sang a great song or spoke a word.
Right.
The word became real, the song became real. So, I think music and sound are really wonderful ways of transforming ourselves.
Sure, even in the Christian tradition here in the West, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you a fun story about my partner and I.
Please. Oh, well, I sort of lost my track, but yeah, before the break, I peeked in the chat room, and a bunch of people in there are saying, hey, ask Brooke about her partner, Sonny. He seems like a very interesting fella, and we'd like to hear a little bit about what they're doing there in Montana.
Well, I feel like it's a wonderful romance and a great story, and one of the things that was fascinating is when we first got together,
When was that?
And singing a song. This was 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. I guess June of 2005.
It's a beautiful photo of you, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And when we first got together, he was singing this song. It's called Wishita Do Ya Do Ya Do Ya, and he was singing it a little different than I sing it, and that's become a song that I'm well known for around the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, very interesting. So I didn't say, you're singing my song wrong, thank heaven. I said, you sing that differently than me. And he said, yes, that song came from my community, River Spirit, in the back country of California. And I realized that some young man who had visited there told me he brought that song from a community in the back country. It was Sonny's community there. And so,
oh no way! From where you had originally from where you had originally heard it. Oh,
right. And so anyway, it was fascinating to feel that connection. And it seems like we've been walking relatively parallel paths, although manifesting them very differently for a lot of years. Because both of our work has been around that the sense of a holy way of walking, a way of walking that really works for the earth. And Sonny spent a good amount of time with a very powerful native elder who taught him Aboriginal skills and how to live in harmony in a very deep way. Sonny's predilection has been to form communities, and so he has taken that willingness to live simply and live in harmony and created communities, 4 or 5 self-sufficient communities in the wilderness where people really lived simple, lovely, you know, it's like paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Living simply and beautifully and harmoniously, raising their children that way, stepping out of the consumer money-oriented society and becoming producers of their lives.
Right.
And so he has really worked at that level of community and found ways to put energy together, money together, and buy land and create that kind of thing, protect the land in land trusts and form community. and really practice, put into practice the ways of harmony much more than many of us. I know I've been asked to live on the road, and it a lot of times didn't feel very harmonious to be standing in Los Angeles in a hotel room talking about the earth.
Right.
That seemed to be my assignment, and he had the challenge and joy of creating communities in the wilderness and really living simply and beautifully. I know at one time he said he wrote to me, and I think I remember the letter, and he said, "We are living the dream you express in Buffalo Woman Comes Singing."
Hmm.
And so we had some interesting connections, although I didn't know him, he knew of me, and we had an opportunity through a friend to meet and to put our lives together and make more real that dream of harmony and holiness. And he's always worked to create that heaven on earth wherever he is, and loves to build and has built beautiful handmade homes and does the Aboriginal skills of tanning buckskin. And I love that because he makes me beautiful buckskin clothing.
And so
he has walked a pathway of harmony in a way that most people of our generation haven't even seen, let alone walked.
Hmm.
And one of the things they discovered, in that kind of back to the land movement that he was a part of in right after the hippie days and going forward from there, a lot of people kind of went back to the land and into communes and communities. And part of what he discovered and many of the people that he lived with was that they could create a paradise physically. They could be in these amazing places, and all of these people who wanted to have peace and love could be there together. And the way he talked about it is they created hell right in the middle of heaven because they didn't know how to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So part of his seeking then, and on many of the parts of many of those people, was to say, okay, how do we actually practice love and peace? If we who are saying love, peace, get along and all of this kind of stuff, if we can't even do it, then how do we expect a Chinese and a Russian and an American to do it?
Right.
And so that practice was about, coming into that larger sense of harmony, into God consciousness, and being able to actually live together in a good way that extends in a manner of holiness out to the larger circle around.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm quite fond of him, as you might be able to tell.
It's a great story.
He's my treasure. I really love, I said that he offered me food, shelter, clothing, and love, and I definitely took him up on it. So we've really had this wonderful experience in the last couple years. Both of us just have really felt like getting ourselves on the ground and, getting a garden going and getting a sustainable home and all of that. So together in the last year and a half or so, we've built a beautiful homestead and really shown ourselves and modeled for people around us how using recycled materials and just simple, heartful intent and a few good skills that create something very beautiful and something sustainable and something good. And one of the sweet things is, we talked about creating a little heaven on earth, and the beautiful things was sometimes when people would walk through the gate, actually many of them would say, "You've created paradise here."
What a thrill it is to hear that.
Flowers and food and beauty and simple things. It's like stepping back in time, because we have, older implements and sinks, and we cook on wood, and people feel like they're stepping back into another time, and it's such a sweet thing to model for people that there is a simpler life that's possible. And he really makes it possible for me to walk that way as well, and to learn and grow more in my life, and challenges me at many levels as he asked the goddess to have someone to co-create with this time around, because he's always been a strong and charismatic leader, and so he just kind of went for it. And so we've been doing it together, and I tease him sometimes and say, you got what you asked for. now I get to throw my ideas in as well and my part of things and share equally. So anyway, it's been very interesting to have two very strong leaders, in a sense, come together, and it's been really wonderful personally, and I think it's also cosmically kind of wonderful, because putting our energy together, I think we can create a just a very beautiful vibration for the world, and that's part of what we're about. And so we have created a retreat here and really want to offer people a model of living and a place to come and feel that. And our physical situation may change, but the work that we do, that we call Earth Heart, is a continuing life work, you know, because it's about that way of living more simply and actually making real being sustainable and being in harmony. So, you know, I think we come together in a way that's very beneficial for not only ourselves and our own joy and our own companionship and the fact that we just love working together, but also I think it serves to lift the vibration of the world through what we're doing.
That's awesome. All right, we've got a few more minutes. On your most recent CD, there's an image of a white buffalo on the cover, and you also wear a white buffalo necklace in at least one image that I've seen of you. Would you talk a little bit about the white buffalo, and then maybe we could chat about prophecy a little bit before we finish up tonight?
Well, it's interesting to see the white buffalo being born. Those were prophesied as white buffalo woman came to bring that sacred pipe generations ago, and to bring the message. I feel like she, as the dawn star, as the Christ light, brought in that message of love that we need to live from the heart. Buffalo woman brought in the image that we must be in oneness, that harmony, living in togetherness, living in oneness, and honoring all things as we do through the sacred pipe, the Chinupa. Those things are what she brought in, and the prophecy was that as she had literally turned into a buffalo four different times as she left the people after teaching them in that old time when she came to the people. The last time she rolled and stood up, she was a white buffalo calf, and that buffalo calf ran over the, you know, and disappeared into the tall grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so, fascinatingly enough, this time has come when the white buffalo have actually come to us in actual physical form and in feminine form. You know, most of them are female. And, you know, they're a stimulation of that way of oneness and walking in oneness, and a reminder, even though maybe not all people understand what they mean, it's really brought to the attention of the public that message of harmony and wholeness and oneness and the prophecies that have come. And Buffalo Woman talks about, you know, needing to walk in that way. She said, I will, with visible breath, I will walk, and meaning that she will breathe that smoke, and rather than taking it in, blow that up and send the prayers for all our relations. All that tobacco in that pipe is prayers for all our relations, the whole and holy circle of life. And when that breath of those prayers is then breathed and blown into the all that is, then you're walking with a visible breath of prayer for all things. And she just reminds us again and again to walk in that manner, to take care of each other, and to love and share. And so that message, I feel like, is the essential thing. You know, really, love is the answer. I have a little thing on my website that says, love is the answer. Happiness is my choice, and love is my answer. And I feel like that deeper love, to understand it with a capital L, and walk in that manner, the path with heart, as many Native people say, that way of walking into a new time is how we'll get there. And if we don't do that, I think we might have some real challenges. And they are right before us if we can't shift our behavior.
Yeah, I think at this point, anybody who's paying attention, you know, should realize that the days of speculation about, you know, what may come or what, you know, what might be in store, those days are sort of over. It's sort of right on top of us now, and it's just a matter, as you said earlier, about deciding, you know, how am I going to ride this out? You know, what's going to be my mindset and my choice of being as this thing moves forward and changes, you know?
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, there's an interesting dream that I had at one time that I think is a metaphor for all of us now. A group of us were in this dream, a group of us were, I don't know, we were just hanging out. It was a beautiful meadow of some kind. We were out doing something, and there were friends, and we were laughing and talking and doing all of these different things and moving around there. And all of a sudden, there was a strange kind of energy. Something was weird, and we were drawn to look up. And when we looked up, there was, like, I guess you'd call it a meteorite coming at us, and it was so big that by the time we looked up, it was covering the whole sky above us.
Wow.
And we knew it was like it was all over. And what we did in this dream, what we did was we ran together, got a hold of hands, and started singing a joyous song and dancing. And when things crashed and things shifted, and when the smoke cleared, we were still in a circle singing and dancing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Reminds me of the medicine wheel.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like if the dollar crashes, if we lose our gasoline, whatever happens, if we can work together and say, hey, people down through time, money is just an exchange. We just need to share and help each other and find another medium exchange, whatever it is, trade, barter, and, you know, go back to a simpler way. But as we join hands and, you know, form a circle, a village that serves and nurtures itself, I think we're going to be more local. Even though we have a global heart, we'll be more local. And as we can join hands and bring, stay in harmony, we will walk through this time in a good way. And if not, we won't. The White Buffalo Woman says, with this sacred pipe, I walk through the ages toward you, and I will meet you in that golden time. I will meet you there. And so she's saying, you know, hold that pipe, hold that oneness, hold that holiness, hold that unified dance, hold respect and love and honoring, walk in beauty, walk in honor, walk with respect and caring and love, and we'll walk through anything, because that's the lesson. It doesn't matter what the outer form of it is. It's the lesson is love. The lesson is unity. The lesson is caring and cooperation. That's the key, and we'll walk through whatever we need to, holding on to that principle. And otherwise, we'll crash and burn no matter what it looks like. Just like Sunny said, you can be in paradise, and it can be hell if you can't walk in harmony and love and caring and sharing and respect and honoring of each other.
Oh, man, Brooke, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's an amazing way and a perfect way to finish the program, I think.
Well, thanks to all the readers. I send much love and many blessings to you. Keep a high and beautiful and happy heart and a vision of that golden dream so that we can all bring it to reality on Earth.
Well, I think that that's great advice. And I want to mention one more thing. I know that that your father passed recently, and I want to just let you know that he must have been an amazing man to come up with a woman like you as a daughter. So, aho to your father, and I dedicate this program to him and to all of our ancestors. So thank you very much, Brooke.
Thank you so much.
All right, I look forward to staying in touch with you, and I hope we can do this again. There are many things that I didn't get to. We didn't talk much about medicine. We didn't talk much about children. We didn't talk about, well, a lot of things. So maybe we have an opportunity to do it again, okay?
All right, Sunny will probably join me if you want. And
that would be great, actually. Yeah, that would be great to have both of you on the air together. I think that would be a great program. So let's maybe talk about that, okay?
All right.
All right, Brooke, once again, thank you so much. Take care. All right, everybody, it's Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Once again, big thank you to Brooke Medicine Eagle. And we'll do our best to get Brooke back on the program here and talk with her again. That was just a wonderful talk. So this song is called Grandfather Fire. And it goes out to Brooke and to her father and to all of our grandfathers and all of those who've come before us. And I hope you're all listening close. I love you all. And we'll come back and talk in a few minutes. All right, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM.
This chant came as we danced around a sacred fire, honoring it and praying for mankind to use its primal power for peace and abundance.
Grandfather Fire, rising higher. Grandfather Fire, transforming me. Grandfather Fire, rising higher. Grandfather Fire, transforming me. Grandfather Fire, rising higher. Grandfather Fire, transforming me.
Grandfather Fire, transforming me.
there you have it, everybody. It's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. It's now just about 7 minutes after 1 a.m. in the morning on the 12th of February now. And we had a wonderful conversation there with Brooke Medicine Eagle. And you can find information about her on the web at medicineeagle.com. You'll have to go to my website if you can't understand my words, because I'm like sort of stuffed up right now, if you haven't noticed. But I'll try to say words that don't have M's or N's in them. That's very difficult, actually, when you talk as much as I do. Anyway, thanks to Brooke for the great conversation and great music as well. We'll hear a couple more from here on the way from Brooke on the way out here, okay? All right, let me say hello to everybody, first of all, and thanks for listening to the program. On KOPN on the radio, 89.5 FM, or on the web, kopn.org. We broadcast this program every Monday from the studios here at KOPN, downtown Columbia, Missouri. And, well, it's just a thing that's been going on here for about 35 years, actually, at KOPN, high above the Dalton Building here on Broadway. And a tradition that just sort of keeps on rolling right along. It's great to be a part of it here, so. Anyway, if you want to find out about KOPN, you can see them on the web, kopn.org, and you can listen to the program live over the Internet through that same website, okay? All right, and speaking of KOPN, it is the Winter Pledge Drive. I haven't said much about it because we had Brooke with us for the first couple hours there. I didn't want to cut into that too much, and I don't typically do the hardcore pledge pitches that much anyway. I just sort of ask you and say, hey, you know, you're listeners of my program. You're intelligent people, obviously. And, well, if you want to keep this show on the air and keep the radio station that allows me to do it on the air, you know, donate a little bit of your money to KOPN. Doesn't go to me. Doesn't go to me. It goes to the radio station. I don't get paid. You know, and very few people that actually work here at the station do get paid. I think we have 4 paid staff members right now in a station that, you know, is 40,000 watt FM station that broadcasts around the clock. And we only have 4 people that we actually pay money to here. The rest is done by volunteers, myself included. So anyway, lots of great radio. And for those that are listening now, you know, I assume that you think that this program is at least interesting or worthy of your time. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. And if you got nothing better to do, well, I guess I give you a break. But at any rate, you know, support is what we require to keep things going. So if you'd like to do that and help out, send me an email. Orbitradio, ORBITRADIO, orbitradio@AOL.com. Write it down. You can do it tomorrow or the next day or any day after that. Or you can do it right now, which is what I prefer. So I'd love to wake up in the morning. I'd love to go home tonight, sleep for the lousy 1 or 2 hours that I'll get before my 4-year-old, who can't wake up after 6 a.m. I mean, Alex has to be up by 6. If he's not up by 6 a.m., he's sick or something. You know, I worry about him. So he'll be waking me up here at about 6 a.m., and I'll go check my email, and there'll be a whole bunch of emails there saying, Mike, I want to give you a few dollars for the radio station, and I'd be pleased as punch to wake up to that. I also recognize it's not easy for people right now. There are a lot of people that are tight with cash, and, you know, I pay attention to what's happening in the economy and all that stuff. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. If you can, please do, all right? And I'd appreciate it. And so would everybody else here that's involved with the radio station. And it is a wonderful radio station, and there are so few of us left, you know, doing this sort of thing. I think there's 31 or 32 independent community radio stations left in the country. That's less than 1 per state. And this one here at KOPN in mid-Missouri, can you believe it? Mid-Missouri, in the 1970s when this thing started, nobody thought it would make it. Nobody thought the radio station would make it because of the demographic that it was setting itself in the middle of. You know, we're sort of right the one of the notches in the Bible Belt, sort of. And but KOPN has done very well and thrived and has been very well supported for a lot of years here. So we hope to continue that. And you people who are listening right now, you know, you're the latest generation that supports the station. So please continue to. All right. All right. In the chat room, hello to everybody there. Chaos, thank you for doing it every week, as always. You're awesome. I'm sorry I didn't get to look in there more frequently to get questions, but I think at least I got to one or two. And I encourage all of you to participate there in the forum and in the chat room during the program. It's always a lot of fun and a great way to talk, and debate, share, discuss stuff with your peers and your fellow Radio Orbit listeners, all right? Okay, my email address, orbitradio, O-R-B-I-T-R-A-D-I-O, orbitradio@AOL.com. Send me email. I appreciate it. I'd like to hear from you, and I'd love to respond. I'm always impressed and astonished by the level of, sophistication of the listeners. You guys send me more interesting stuff than I could ever find on my own. And I appreciate all the comments that you make about the show. So please feel free to send email to me and my guests and musicians that appear on the program. You know, Brooke would love to hear from you as well, and I'm sure anybody else who's been on the show before. On the web, of course, Mike Hagan, M-I-K-E-H-A-G-A-N, MikeHagan.com. You can get a hold of me there that way as well, okay? Okay. Upcoming guests. We had Brooke Medicine Eagle tonight. Once again, thank you to Brooke. That was wonderful. Next week, I've been talking it up, and I can't wait. John Major Jenkins. If other than Carl Kaliman, I'd say between John and Carl Kaliman, those are the two top people on the planet with regard to the Maya and this whole 2012 business. And I don't think they're that far apart. Some people say, oh, my God, they're worlds apart, Kaliman and Jenkins. Well, they're not, really. They disagree a little bit about the particular system that they use and exact dates and that sort of thing. But for the most part, they're in agreement, at least from my perspective. But regardless, John Major Jenkins, one of the most scholarly individuals on the planet right now with regard to the ancient Maya and their cosmology, their mythology, their worldview, and their calendar. Well, John will be here in Colombia. He'll be in Rochemort. He's staying with me for a few days. But anyway, he'll be here next Monday night, a week from tonight, live in the studio. Here at KOPN, John Major Jenkins. We'll have John with us for the whole program. And then the following night, on Tuesday night, at the Blue Fugue, down on 9th Street here in Columbia, John will present his material and hang out with us for the rest of the evening. So if you're a local person or a regional person, I mean, if you're within the sound of my voice on the regular radio, my God, come down to the Blue Fugue on Tuesday night next week. It's going to be remarkable. And, I really encourage all of you to come down. And you get to, meet John and talk with him about any of this stuff. You can ask him any questions you might have. And I tell you, he can answer most of them. He's brilliant. And I'm so pleased that he's going to be here to share with us. So, anyway, the 18th and 19th. Big couple of days here in Columbia, Missouri. John Major Jenkins will be doing live radio with me next Monday night and then presenting his material, some of his material. He's got loads of it, but some material at the Blue Fugue on Tuesday night, the 19th. Okay? And I encourage all of you to come out for that. It's free, to the public. There's no charge for either of those events. All right, on the following week, the 25th of February, Richard Allen Miller. We'll talk with Richard about magic and alchemy, stuff that's right at the top of my list of interests. Glenn Kimball will be on the program sometime in the next couple months. David Abram, the author of Spell of the Sensuous. I think I'll play a piece of music here and try to clear my sinuses, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about some other things, all right? So, enjoy yourselves for a few minutes here. This is a song called Vision Mountain. Oh, I take it back. Let's play Mother, Mother Ocean. And we'll come back and talk a little bit more with y'all in a few minutes. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. If anybody does want to call in and make a pledge in the next 4 or 5 minutes, you can do that because I'll be free for a minute here. The number is 573-874-5676, all right? And once again, Brooke Medicine Eagle. This is called Mother, Mother Ocean.
As I stood on an island shore in the Bahamas, giving thanks to the blue-green ocean for the joy of a week spent listening to her music, this song came into my heart.
Mother, Mother Ocean, rolling wild and free. Mother, Mother Ocean, I feel your life in me. Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean. Mother, Mother Ocean, Mother, Mother Ocean, I long to be free. Mother, Mother Ocean, my heart belongs to thee. Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean. Mother, Mother Ocean, to thee, Mother, Mother Ocean, you're rolling wild and free. Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean, Mother Ocean.
Mother Ocean. That's Brooke Medicine Eagle. Wonderful stuff. Again, from Brooke, from her CD that is entitled Gathering the Sacred Breath. On the web, Brooke Medicine Eagle can be found at medicineeagle.com. All right? It's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. It's about 1:23, I should say, in the AM now, on the 12th of February, 2008. And it's Pledge Drive week here at KOPN, so if you want to help us out, do so. The best way to do that is through email on the web. Send me a note at Orbit Radio, ORBITRADIO, orbitradio@aol.com. And if you'd like to help us out here at the station, we would certainly appreciate it, okay? All right, what else? Well, I know I sound like I'm looking in the chat room, and I appreciate it, Sushi, who recognizes that I'm not feeling very well. I feel like such a wuss. I don't think there's been a program that I've done this winter where I haven't had something wrong with me, where I wasn't whining about a cold or a toothache or an earache or something. But I've had sort of a difficult go of it this winter with regard to health concerns. But it's all been sort of, you know, nothing serious. So if you were going to worry about me, don't. Not that any of you were. But, you know, it's just sort of these little annoyances, but nothing very serious. And I should probably do a better job of taking care of myself. But anyway, you all do the best that you can, and I do the same, all right? Let's see. Before the break, I was going to mention that I'm trying to interview this guy named his name is Rabbi Antelman. And Rabbi Antelman is a very interesting guy. He's involved, believe it or not, in this whole HIV thing that I talked about last week. But he's also the Chief Justice of the highest rabbinical court in the world, or what would be called the Sanhedrin a couple thousand years ago, probably. But at any rate, he's also a very celebrated biochemist and has been involved in all kinds of different scientific projects over the course of his career. And he actually patented, he has a number of patents, and one of his patents is this one that I've been getting so shook up about, or that I've been talking a lot about, is a patent that is registered, at least, as a cure for HIV. And anyway, I don't know if he'll talk with us about it, because he's gone very quiet in the last few years. But anyway, I think that he'd be worth talking about. Here's an interesting blurb about Dr. Antelman, right? Where is it here? Let me page up to it. Listen to this, all right? The Supreme Rabbinic Court of America and the U.S. Coordinator of the Jewish Survival Legion Chief is Chief Justice Rabbi Marvin S. Antelman. For example, Rabbi Antelman is an internationally recognized organic chemist and biochemist. He has developed many specifically designed molecules used in many vital industrial processes. He is also noted for his work in the physical chemistries and astrophysics, and he has delivered original papers before the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He heads his own chemical research laboratory at the Weizmann Institute in Rehoboth, Israel. He's one of today's leading experts on Jewish law, and like other members of the court, his professional and scientific work permits him to carry on his judicial and rabbinic work. Almost all of these justices of the Supreme Rabbinic Court are veterans of the Israeli or American armed forces, and all have had experience in government work. This guy in particular, Marvin Antelman, he was responsible for the excommunication from the Jewish religion of Henry Kissinger. Think about that for a second, all right? This guy, Harvey Antelman, was responsible, in part, with other justices of this rabbinical court, of excommunicating Henry Kissinger from their religion. Why? Well, because of what he was up to. That's why. And, of course, this is all tied into the show that we did last week with Dr. Graves and this business that I will not let go. All right? The U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program. Once again, the United States Special Virus Cancer Program. It is an historical fact that this program existed officially under the auspices of the National Institutes of Health and the National Cancer Institute. It operated from 1962 officially until 1978. It was an official program of the U.S. government. The documentation of the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program exists. Much of the documentation is up on the web. One in particular file that I put there myself. It is Progress Report number 15 from 1978. Each year of the operation of the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program, every year an annual progress report was printed and published. Each one of these progress reports is between 400 and 600 pages long. Okay, I have nearly 9,000 pages that document a virus development program. Okay, I'm going to repeat this slowly so that everybody understands and nobody questions me again about the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program's objectives and goals. The U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program was a virus development program. A virus development program. Their goals and objectives were the creation of viruses. Okay? That's what they did. Right? There was no one that can dispute that fact because the documentation exists to prove otherwise, including the thousands of doctors and organizations and corporations and hospitals that participated in the program, either knowingly or unknowingly, with regard to its eventual objective. My question to everybody out there, all right, is this: should the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program be investigated? That's the only question. If there was a federal virus development program, a federal virus creation program that preceded the outbreak of HIV/AIDS, should that program be investigated? That's it. I don't want to hear any more comments about, oh, well, there are some people that say that HIV doesn't even exist. There are some people that say that this is a hoax and that is a hoax. There are some people that say, you know, there's a guy that wrote this. Look, I don't care about what anybody else is talking about. I'm talking about the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program. Nothing else. All right? The U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program was a virus development program that existed inside the walls of the National Cancer Institute from 1962 to 1978. The program existed. Don't anyone tell me that it didn't, all right? I got the fucking documents to show it. The question is, should that program be investigated? If your answer is no, well, I'm perfectly happy to debate why I think it should be. If your answer is yes, well, then you're a reasonable person, all right? But everything else is beating around the bush, all right? We have official, original U.S. government documents that describe very clearly a virus development program. The virus that they developed, their star, as it were, was called the ESP1 virus. It was named after the woman doctor who participated in the program with Dr. Robert Gallo, whose name was Dr. Elizabeth Priori. Her middle name started with an S, hence ESP. ESP1, okay? That's the virus that was developed, created by the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program, all right? Nobody can dispute it, all right? It's all over the scientific literature. And if you're not willing to go investigate that, well, then get the hell out of my face, all right? The ESP1 virus is identical under electron microscopy to HIV, which was formerly known as HTLV-3, all right? It's the same thing. I want to know why. I want to know what they were doing. I want to know why there are sequences of a sheep virus in HIV. I want to know why there are sequences of a rat virus in HIV. I want to know why there are sequences of a bovine virus in HIV. I'll tell you why. Because it's a mosaic, a recombinant of all of these different things. And it was done in Fort Detrick, Maryland, among other places. All right? So that's the question. The U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program, should it or should it not be investigated? I don't give a damn about anybody else who's writing anything else. You can investigate their work separately, okay? If somebody says it was a hoax and that HIV doesn't exist, okay, go talk to them, right? Don't talk to me. I don't give a damn about any of that because that will all be proven to be absolute horse manure when we investigate and review the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program. We can solve and end AIDS. That's the solution to that problem. Everything else is misdirection, and there's so much misdirection, it is amazing. You know, it doesn't matter where you post this thing. It's like, it's like fire to a moth. The spooks will come out, and they will go crazy and do everything they can to make sure that people look anywhere but there. Nobody will address the documents. Nobody is willing to address the official documents. Everybody's willing to talk about this, that, or the other thing, but they will not address the actual documents. The U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program. There are 15 annual progress reports. I've got access to them, and I'm willing to show them to you. And we can prove exactly what was behind HIV/AIDS. Are you people crazy? Why would anyone not want to investigate this program? There is no rational reason to not investigate a very secret program that spent a whole lot of money to develop human viruses. They were developing these things and propagating them in humans. I mean, go ahead and investigate your other stuff. Go ahead and follow your HIV is a hoax thread. Go ahead and follow it. But follow it after you request and demand an investigation of the U.S. Special Virus Cancer Program, all right? We got official documents that need to be dealt with. Nobody else has any official documents, all right? I do. So that's why I'm starting there. I don't have any official documents with guys like Dr. Gallo and Dr. Rabson and all these guys that won't talk to anybody, right? Their name is all over this thing. Well, I don't have any other documents that are official or otherwise that give me any names of prominent microbiologists and geneticists that say that HIV was a hoax. All I got is a bunch of fools out there CIA agents and spooks of all sorts that are spreading so much crap on the internet, praying that no one will actually get to the root of what happened. Well, I say we start with the original U.S. government documents and then go from there. Let's find out what they were doing. You know, if you don't want to do that, well, then, you know, then you're thinking you're shit-brained. And frankly, I've got nothing further to say to you about it. I'm interested in talking to the choir, all right? I'm not interested in converting anybody. I don't give a damn what you believe, all right? I'm not trying to convert you. What I'm trying to do is reach the people who know I'm telling the truth and get them to do something about it. The rest of you can stick it up your ass. I couldn't care less. You're fools, and you're not paying attention. In the meantime, everybody's dying of this stuff. You know how many children die every day from HIV and AIDS? My God, it's unbelievable. If there is even the slightest chance, you know, that somebody did this with malice intent, people should be trying to find out about it. I got 9,000 pages that prove that there was malice intent. Not only that, we know exactly who did it, and how they did it, and where they did it, and when they did it, and why they did it. Check out Henry Kissinger's National Security Memorandum 200. It'll make it perfectly clear why they did it. My God. My God, what are you people thinking? This is called Stones into Bones.
Here we sing with the accompaniment of Stones and Bones to honor the foundation of Earth and our bodies.
The stones are the bones of the earth. The stones are the bones of the earth. I honor the stones of the earth. I sing to the bones of the earth. Hey, hey, ay-ya. 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 Hey-ya. The stones are the bones of the earth. The stones are the bones of the earth. I honor the stones of the earth. I sing to the bones of the earth. Hey, hey, ay-ya. 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 Hey-ya. Bones of the earth, the stones are the bones of the earth. I honor the stones of the earth. I sing to the bones of my birth. Hey, hey, ay-ya. Hey, hey, ay-ya. Hey, hey, ay-ya. Hey, hey. The bones.
of the earth. The stones are the bones of the earth. I honor the stones of the earth. I sing to the bones of my birth. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. The bones of the earth. The stones are the bones of the earth. I honor the stones of the earth. I sing to the bones of the earth. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah.
Medicine Eagle. Great stuff from Brooke. Thanks for making the music available for us and the wonderful conversation that we had earlier tonight with Brooke. She's great. I can't wait to have her back on the program. Hi, everybody. It's Mike. It's about 10:47. No, I can't get the time right tonight, but it is about 1:45 in the morning now on the 20... Oh, I should give up on that. I'm not going to tell you what time it is or what day it is because I have no idea, obviously. All right. It's the Pledge Drive. If you want to help out the station or keep this program on the air, you can do it. Just send me an email at orbitradio@aol.com. And it's real simple to pledge here at the radio station. The phone number, if you just want to call in, you have to do it sometime tomorrow during business hours or sometime before, I don't know, probably 10 o'clock tomorrow night, 573-874-5676. And there'll be someone there to take your pledge. Otherwise, just send me an email, and I'll let you know how you can do it. And make it painless, okay? All right. On the 15th of February, 1861, Alfred North Whitehead had a birthday. And he was wonderful. And if you don't know much about Alfred North Whitehead, he's someone who you might add to your list of interesting people to look into someday. He was a mathematician and a philosopher and a writer and an artist. And he is credited with, at least as far as I can tell, the first use of the word novelty in the way that we're using it today, the way Terence, you know, taught us to use it. And Alfred North Whitehead had a whole lot to say about what was happening on the planet and, you know, what might be coming in the future. So anyway, here's to him, Alfred North Whitehead. Happy birthday, the 15th of February, coming up in just a couple days here, okay? Space weather, interesting phenomenon on the edge of the solar disk right now. Lots of prominences and stuff visible if you've got the right filters on your telescopes. But other than that, not a lot of activity on the sun. No sunspots to talk about. and not a lot of flares for the last couple weeks. But you never know. That changes all the time. So if you're interested in this, in that type of stuff, I would suggest Ted Stedman's website at cyberspaceorbit.com. And Space Weather is a great place to access some of that information. Okay, let's see what's happening in the sky. Anything tonight? I think Mercury is hard to see this time of year, but for the next week or two, you'll be able to see Mercury make sort of a guest appearance in the morning sky for the next couple weeks. If you look east-southeast in the morning, you'll see Venus, of course, the morning star that Brooke actually was talking about earlier in the program, but you'll see Mercury down into the lower left of Venus, and those planets will sort of get closer to each other up until about the 27th of February, and then pass by one another, and then things change, and Mercury will no longer be visible in the morning for a while. So, anyway, regardless of the things in the skies that are identifiable or not, it's always fun to go outside and look up. There are beautiful things. Whether you know the names of them or not is really not the point. It's a matter of just sort of looking up and checking out, seeing what things do. And there is a wonderful, clockwork to the whole thing, though, too, because, and I'm sure that that's what our ancestors did. You know, they didn't have particular names for these things the way we do. Maybe they had a name for it, maybe a different name. But long before we had language, long before we were speaking, our ancestors were looking at the stars. We know this, from cave paintings and petroglyphs and lots of different historical evidence of that. But they looked at the skies, and they were able to recognize patterns and see that things, were the same at different times of the year and that sort of thing. And eventually, seasons get worked out and constellations and all the stuff that we, now attach to, to sky watching. But back 50, 60,000 years ago, our ancestors were doing it too. And they did it just by watching and sort of documenting what they saw, drawing it on the walls of a cave or on the side of a big rock. So anyway, it's a remarkable thing that we're in the middle of this amazing cosmos, whatever it is. And, you can actually go out at night, and if you got clear skies, you can look up and, get a feel for how we really are sort of placed right in the middle of it. I think about the scale of the human being, like how big we are. Like, I'm not a very big person. I'm not even 6 feet tall. I'm not even 5 foot nine. I'm like 5 foot 7 inches tall. But I'm a lot bigger than a paramecium. I'm a lot bigger than an amoeba. And I'm probably about as big, relatively speaking, to an amoeba, as the universe is that we know to us. And it seems weird that we're sort of placed right in the middle. We have this grand cosmos that we speculate is, billions of light years across. We really don't know much about it, but we think that's what's going on. And then we go the other direction and we look down inside cells and atoms and even further than that, we go inside a nucleus of an atom and start to find smaller critters, little subatomic particles that don't even stay put. you can't even get your fingers on them because they disappear from one spot and then pop up somewhere on the other side of the universe. And nobody knows how or why. But it is strange that we're sort of right in between those two things, and we're able to sort of take a look at both of them. We've gotten to that point technologically. Or maybe we're just fooling ourselves. I don't know. But I don't know. I think it's interesting that we're the size that we are, and that we do have the ability, apparently, to look at all these other things. And I think eventually when we get smart, we'll probably realize that we're all very much the same, and that the only difference is scale. And maybe when that happens, we'll all start to get along a little bit better, but Although until then, you know, do the best you can. And I'll do the same, okay? It's been a pleasure talking with y'all. And we'll come back and do it again next week with John Major Jenkins. We'll talk about the Mayan calendar and all things Mayan for the next day and a half after the show on Monday. We'll have John here in town for a few days and do a special presentation with him on Tuesday night, the 19th, down at the Blue Fugue at 7 o'clock. So, like I say, I encourage you all to listen in next week to the program and join in with us. If you're around Columbia next Tuesday, you can come down to the Blue Fugue and hang out with me and John and a whole bunch of our friends that will all be there, you know, hanging out and listening to what he has to say, okay? All right, we will do it again in 6 days and 21 hours. And I'll talk to you then, okay? Take care of yourselves between now and then. And here's one more from Brook Medicine Eagle. It's a song that's called Pilamaye. Pilamaye is a Lakota word that means thank you. And so it's a fitting way to end the program. So I thank all of you for helping me out, for putting up with me and listening to my rant and raven, and for all of those of you who decide to support the station in an economical sense. You know, thank you for helping out Radio Orbit and for helping out KOPN, okay? Take care, everybody. Stick around. We got Ruth and Crash Landing coming up. Play some great music for you for the next few hours. And like I said, once again, we'll see you next week. It's Mike. You've been listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. This is Pilamaye.
Wake up, wake up, all you people. Children.